structure, discipline, accountability.
Mistreatment, misrepresentation.
Knowledge is power, y'all.
There has to be accountability.
This pandemic of toxic work culture and mistreatment has got to stop.
The podcast for federal employees by federal employees.
What's up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Fed Up. I'm your host, Ron Speakman. Before we get started, I just wanted to quickly take this moment to share this disclaimer with you all to provide more clarity that myself or any of my guests on Fed Up do not speak for or speak or act on behalf of any federal agency or union, specifically the ones we are talking about within this episode of Fed Up. And all opinions or views expressed and or experiences shared on this podcast are those of the individual speaking and do not represent the opinions or views of the federal agency or union that are discussed in this episode, nor does anyone on this podcast, officially or unofficially, represent the federal agency or union being discussed within this episode of Fed Up. Any guest speaking on this podcast are doing so off the clock, off duty, and out of uniform on their own personal time. And again, do not represent the federal agency or union discussed on this episode of Fed Up. Having said that, today we have a very special guest for you. In fact, even if this episode goes well into over an hour or two, we will not split this episode up. As my guest today is a city letter carrier from the United States Postal Service and has been fighting for his brothers and sisters within the NELC for quite some time now. In fact, a lot of you out there who are members of the NELC not only know him by his name, but also by his podcast, which is called From A to Arbitration, which we will be talking about as well in this episode. And just to be clear, my guest and I will be talking off the cuff, unfiltered, unscripted. Listen, whatever we get into is what we get into. So turn up the volume because you're not going to want to miss this episode of Fed Up. So without further ado, let's welcome in our guest, Corey Walton. Corey, welcome to the show, brother.
Man, I'm honored to be here.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. We're glad to have you on the show. Trust me, the members have been waiting for this conversation. I have been getting calls and texts. When are you going to get Corey on? When are you going to get Corey on? I'm like, listen, man, he's busy. He's also delivering mail, all right?
I'm a very busy individual, yes. But I'm glad to set aside a little time to come on here.
I appreciate it, man. Before we get started, can you tell me a bit about yourself, like what state you currently work in and when you first started your long career with the Postal Service?
Yeah. Live in Tennessee. All my life, and started back in 88.
Wow.
As a rural carrier, and my dad was a rural carrier, retired, but I worked with him for a little while as a rural carrier, switched over to the clerk craft, worked there for very little, and then started at the jail in 1990, and was a TE in 1992, and worked there until 96, so I was able to quit the jail and went full-time with the Postal Service. So I've been working for the Postal Service for quite some time.
Wow, outstanding. Congratulations, man. That is a long-ass time, but Yeah, you're almost at that finish line, man. You're almost there.
Well, hell, I'm old. Hopefully I'll make it.
Oh, man. So it's safe to say that you see it from a lot of different angles, being that you rural city, I mean, clerk side. I mean, you just see the beast for what it is. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah. I remember my dad when I was working with him as a rural carrier at that time, he was begging the rural carrier union to be overtaken by the NELC because he could see what was coming. And I remember him actively trying to get the rural carriers union to merge with the NELC and they wouldn't do it. And
when was that?
When?
Yeah, what year?
That was back in 88, 89.
Oh, wow. So when you first started, that's when that was.
Yeah, because he was down on their union. And my mother is retired rural carrier as well, and they would always screw her over as well on their counts. Their counts are a lot different than ours as city carriers. But I just remember him actively trying to get the rural carrier union to merge with the NELC for better representation. So.
Right. I mean,
it
listen,
goes back that far.
It's no wonder you do what you do, man. It's in the family blood. So
that's right.
Now, when you first got started involved with the Postal Service, is that when you also first started getting involved with union activities? Meaning when did you start helping fellow carriers? Did you take a position?
When I started at the Postal Service, I was anti-union.
Really?
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
Hardcore. I hated the union. I couldn't stand them. I did everything I could, you know, to chap their ass. And it was just, it's a long story, but I'll talk to you about it. As you get older, I got to see things. I remember there was a carrier named Red Baird, and he grew up with my dad, my brother, my uncle.
Okay.
And he, great guy. Management fucked with him and fucked with him and fucked with him. And that's one of the kind of the turning points for me. But really what did it when I joined the union, I don't know if I ever talked about this on the podcast. Maybe I haven't. But there was a friend of mine that came in one day and I was having surgery. So I was going to go in later. And they said he was talking about shooting up the place and he was having an affair with this girl in the office. And he was talking about bringing in a gun and doing all this stuff here. And so when I came back from having surgery, there was like 8 or 9 postal inspectors in the office. And when I walked in, the supervisor was like, there he is right there. And so they'll turn around and look at me, you know, and I'm like, hell, I just got here, you know? And right. So they came over and were talking to me about it. And we ended up getting into it. I had put my 2 weeks notice in at the jail. I remember that because I talked to the postmaster about it. I just put my 2 weeks notice in at the jail. And so the president at the time, Tom Rollins, came in and, you know, he asked me what was going on. I told him that the postal inspectors and I had gotten into it, that we were nose to nose, thought we were going to go to blows. And so he said, I'll take care of it. He said, I noticed you're not in the union. I said, no, sir, I'm not. And he reached in his pocket and pulled out a sign-up slip. He says, you want to join? And I just said, where do I sign?
Yes,
that's
sir.
Where it all started right there from that day. That was when I became Corey Walton of the NALC.
You know what? That's a beautiful story. And it's fun to see that, because for you to go from anti-union and to that mm-hmm. one aspect, listen, it's great.
Yeah.
When unions do what the fuck they're supposed to do, it's a wonderful fucking thing. That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I salute you, sir, for all you're doing today. And I want to say thank you for all of us. Not too many people out there want to step up and try to make a difference, which obviously you are still wanting to do today with your podcast. Again, aid arbitration. And I'm going to talk to you about that some a little bit later. But before we do, I want to talk to you about something that I thought was maybe different from then till now. But obviously, clearly it wasn't, just from that story alone. And that's toxic work environments that are running rampant today all over this fucking country, which is promoted from management, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And you can even argue that it's an agency itself that is most responsible. But I want to ask you, what are some things that you've seen from then till now? Is there anything different? Was it the same? What have you seen throughout your illustrious career here?
Yeah, the thing that's different is the joint statement.
Talk to me.
The joint statement on violence behavior in the workplace, it's leveled the playing field. And so we're able to take management to task for the toxic working environment. You know, before you just had section 115.4 of the M39 handbook, mutual respect, you know, they could file a 1,000 of those, you know, we couldn't do anything about it. And then once arbitrator Snow gave us that decision that we could take management to task through the grievance procedure, that leveled the playing field.
Right.
And so, you know, still have to get these arbitrators convinced that they have the authority to do what we want them to do. But we've fired some son of a bitch's asses up with the joint statement. And, you know, that's one thing I can give my business agent. I know that we, you know, we have our issues, but he's always been a very firm believer in the joint statement and hold management accountable. So, you know, beforehand, it was the Wild Wild West, you know, just straight assholes.
Right.
And you still have that, but now we have the avenue of the joint statement to hold them accountable. So
absolutely. I think it's more prevalent today with these assholes, these boss holes and supervisors, if you will.
Yeah.
Because at least back then, and you'll hear me say this a lot. Now, obviously you lived it. I wasn't in the Postal Service at that time. But you had more veterans running the helm. You always hear me talking about this. And I mean, structure, discipline, accountability, you know, obviously the three pillars that I always talk about in my podcast as well. It's kind of at the foundation of who we are as an individual, but in this case, an organization, right? And if we don't have those three things, chances are we ain't going to do shit, let alone do nothing with this organization. So I think that applies a lot. But did you see a lot of veterans running the helm as opposed to today?
Yeah, well, you have it's kind of a younger workforce. The CCA craft has not helped, and that's not their fault. You know, I think the worst thing that's ever happened to the Postal Service is the CCA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love the CCAs, you know, and I fight like hell for them, but just that position has deteriorated, you know, our work standard, really. And, it's been a mess, but that's not their fault. You know, that's Arbitrator Doss. That's, you know, he did that. And so, but, you know, the accountability, I think that today the Postal Service is more numbers driven, which will cause more hostility in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, we were making money. You know, we first class letters were, you know, our driving force. We basically gave our parcel service away, you know, UPS. Came into, you know, into existence. And now here we're trying to get it back, the parcel business. And so, you know, back then they really didn't look at numbers like they do today. But today, everything is numbers driven. You know, now you've got this hour office time, 22-minute load time, stationary events, all of that, all these metrics, as management says, are numbers driven. And anytime you're numbers driven, you're going to have a hostile working environment because city letter carriers like myself, we're not as fast as we used to be.
Right.
And I'm not going to be, and I'm not going to be pressured to be.
Right.
And so that will always cause a hostile working environment when your numbers driven. And the Postal Service today is more numbers driven than at any time that I've been here in 30 years now, 29 years.
Wow. You speak of numbers driven and you're absolutely fucking right. What's your take on, so you have these quote unquote hubs taking over. I mean, I think it started in Athens, Georgia is where it started taking off, but it's starting to make its way and creep around, and then supposed to make its way nationwide in the next couple months, whatever the case is. But when we go to these hubs, they keep saying you're not going to have your route readjusted, which to me doesn't make any fucking sense at all, number one. Mm-hmm. Because they're saying the mail's coming in sequenced, not just your DPS, but your flats. You're only casing your spurs and you're out. You're losing an hour casing time, which they're thinking it's going to be a fucking whitewash. Wait, hold on. No, it's not. So now, what if I got to travel? Okay, there's construction, right? If you're going on a main route, right, to get to your delivery points, how can you determine that you got set amount time to whitewash? I mean, are we going to have the right to ask for that readjustment when that time comes? What do you think?
I think it's another failure on the union's part.
Right.
You knew it was coming. You know, you kind of talked about it a little bit. I don't know if you remember when Renfro was on, when I questioned him. I don't know if you listened to that episode or not, but kind of talked to him a little bit about that. And we knew it was coming.
Okay.
I think that we do a piss poor job as a union of educating our people on things that are coming, that we see coming, forecasting issues and problems.
Right.
We do an absolutely dreadful job of doing that. And that's a direct reflection of poor leadership. And I've talked about that numerous times. I think that we could have got ahead of this and educated our people on what to do. But on your point, it's obviously ignorant to say, I'm going to be driving 30 additional minutes to my route and then 30 additional minutes back to the hub. And that's not going to add on to my route.
Right.
That's idiotic. But we will fall for that in some places, just like this hour office time. We have fallen for that. Anytime management says boo, we jump. And it's just because we're scared as a union. Our leadership is scared. I don't know whether in the pocket of management or what. But we've done a piss poor job of it. But when you talk about flats or sequenced, I don't know, you know, because I heard that FSS is going away.
Exactly. That was my next point. Yep.
Yeah, so if FSS is being done away with, I'm not understanding where they're coming with that the flats are already sequenced, unless that's something that's coming with these hubs. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. But listen, management is also at the disadvantage, just like we are. I don't think they're fully aware of what's going on either from upper management. I think upper management is just giving bullshit. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Because the station manager and supervisor, you can take them out of the equation. They're only doing what the district manager and the AVP are telling them to do.
Exactly.
You talk about good management. My boss right now is one of the best I've ever had. This guy is even keeled, completely honest, which is weird for management. above board, which is weird for management. But he's very good to work for. And he's a joy to come in. My workroom floor is a joy. And so, yeah, I agree with you there. There are managers and supervisors that say, "Hey, I'm not going to be part of this bullshit that management wants us to do from up above." So, yeah, there are those exceptions to the rule that they're all dishonest and cheating, lying bastards.
Yes, sir. You want to give your guy a shout out real quick?
No.
I knew that was coming. That's why I asked you that.
he would shit if he heard his name going across the country.
All good, brother.
But
all
he knows
good.
Who he is. He knows I love him.
That's all that matters, man. Now, Corey, I want to talk. You said something interesting about the unions, and I want to get into that in a little bit. But first, I wanted to ask you regarding management. You hear me talk about it on my podcast a lot. And I know you had to see this when you get a newly appointed, well, I don't know if they're doing away with the 204B yet, but 204B is supervisor. Sorry, I keep saying supervisor.
That's all right.
it's a force of habit, brother.
Right, I got you.
When they go off to that training, you hear me talk about it. They have some kind of empathy, compassion. They treat you like a person. But when they come back from that training, they're more like, hey, now you're treated like that warm body, right? Now you don't matter. Now they're disrespectful. It's just a total 180. I want to ask you a twofold question. How many times have you seen that happen? And also, with that regarding management, how many times have you seen management get promoted for some shit that anywhere else they've been fucking fired for or even had criminal charges pressed against them? Because I know you've seen some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, part two all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
A perfect example is in this installation in Nashville. That's my installation. We had a station manager that was caught falsifying clock rings. And when I say falsifying clock rings, he was clocking carriers out while they're still delivering. So these CCAs were out delivering for a couple of hours off the clock. And this guy's continuing to do it, just stealing from these carriers, And so we catch them. We go to arbitration, and the arbitrator obviously just blasts them. You're a thief. There's nothing worse than management that steals from the craft.
Right.
He's destroying management. They promote him to the MPU.
Oh, my God.
That's the perfect example of what you're just talking about. Most times, because it's numbers driven, they want that supervisor that will do anything that they tell them to do to make the numbers, and they will protect them at all costs. So you'll have managers and supervisors that will steal from us, that will change our clock rings, that will edit our clock rings against our knowledge. Down in New Orleans, they were, falsifying clock rings, making it look like carriers were only in the office for an hour. And these people are promoted because that's what upper management wants. That's what district managers want. They want those individuals that will do whatever they can to make the numbers, and they know that they will protect them. That's the reason the joint statement is so critical for us, is because at the end of the day, you can't protect them forever. We will get them.
Right.
And so that's the second part. What was the first part again?
Have you ever seen a quote unquote nice manager, any supervisor start out, but when they went to that district training for management, they come back, it's a total 180, different person.
Yeah, one of the best supervisors I ever had, and I'm not going to say his name, but one of the best I ever had. Now, this guy came on the workroom floor and would cut up with us. It was a joy.
Right.
Dude left, came back, straight ass.
Wow.
And was probably the worst I had ever seen. And we fired his ass up a bunch of times with a joint statement, but you know, it happens because they get brainwashed when they go. We are the enemy now. When they leave, they're, you know, my carriers are good carriers. No, they're not. They're stealing from you. They're cheating you. They're doing, you know,
right.
And they're brainwashed in these things. They get these high powered people like these AVPs come in, maybe the Postmaster General come in, and they get with like-minded people. And then when they come back, we're the enemy and we can do nothing wrong. We're trying to steal from, we're trying to cheat them.
Right.
And all we're doing is coming to work and working, man.
That's it. We want to come to work, do our fucking job and go to fuck home.
And be left the fuck alone. Just leave me the fuck alone. I've been doing this 29 years. You're not going to teach me anything new. You know, the only thing you're going to do is piss me off. And that's how my carriers and my station are. You know, I've got 29 years and I'm right in the middle of the pack at my station. I've got carriers that have been there 50 years, you know. So
right.
You're not going to teach them anything new. All you're going to do is upset them and piss them off. And so, but that's how it goes, man. They get around like-minded people. All of them are assholes. I wouldn't give you a nickel for 50 of them. And that's just how I feel. I am anti-management as much as you can get. I think that they're dishonest, stealing, thieving bastards. That's how I feel about them.
One of my editor guests had one of the best quotes ever. And she said, when we were talking about the same exact thing, to number two here that I asked you about management. And mm-hmm. her thing was, yep. And you know what we call it? Fuck up, move up. I'm like, that's a beautiful way to explain it. Fuck up and move up. They get promoted. Yeah.
They want those people that they know will do whatever it takes to make the numbers.
Absolutely. Yes, people. And you know what also is crazy that happens? All the shit that happens in the Postal Service to us, it's the social norm for us as employees. But outside of our craft, our agency, it's out there, but it's less prevalent, it seems, as far as the general public goes. Like, they have no idea how bad it is, with the exception of some of our spouses, right?
But
speaking of spouses, just a quick announcement for y'all out there. I'll be having a Spousal Awareness Month coming up in the near future where I'll be talking to some spouses of federal employees. And they will be talking about how the mistreatment of management and the broken and unjust system of the Department of Labor and OWCP, just the whole toxicity of the post office, how it has affected them as well. So stay tuned for that coming in months ahead. But Corey, what do you think can be done in regards to the toxic environments and culture and the terrible, terrible fucking management within the Postal Service? How can we fight back? I always let people know many tools that we have at our disposal to use. But, you know, especially if we don't have no representation, which is a big thing as far as I'm concerned. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But what are some tools or advice you can offer to those who are experiencing a toxic work environment from management? You know, would it be harassment, dignity and respect issues, workplace violence, Privacy Act violations, whatever the case is? What would you say to that?
That's 100% on the business agent.
MBAs.
Yes, it's 100% on them to have some, I've said this many times, to have some kind of avenue network where those workroom floors can get a hold of them and say, hey, I've got somebody in here that is a straight tyrant. So much so that my carriers refuse to write statements against them because they're scared to death. So much so that when my shop steward goes back there to file a grievance, he threatens my shop steward. We see this all the time. I've seen it down here. I've seen it in Mississippi, you know, where the shop steward will go in there and he's like, if you file that grievance, I'll terminate you. And so they just throw the sumbitch in the trash. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
And but it happens all the time. And I think that our business agents are directly responsible for that. And what I mean is they need to be out educating. They need to educate everyone about the joint statement, the avenues that we have, the case files that we're going to put together. I've done several episodes on the GSOV trying to help people get that case file fortified for arbitration. We need to make sure that we're putting arbitrators on the panels that agree with the joint statement, like I said earlier, and their authority through the joint statement to remove these people from their positions. But I think that it's 100%. On the business agent, because if you've got a tyrant that's been a tyrant, we're not addressing it the way we need to be addressing it. And that's through education. That's through notifying every steward. If something's going on in your station, you're scared of that manager or you are scared of that supervisor, let me know, because I'm going to find somebody to send in there that is not scared.
Exactly.
That is not intimidated, that will fire these motherfuckers up through the grievance procedure and get them out of there. And we will do surveys so carriers aren't scared to write statements. We'll do surveys, whatever it takes. But we will stay there and continue to stay there until either they're removed or they change.
Right.
And that's you know, that's, I believe that just falls directly squarely on the MBA, on the business agent.
Absolutely. And all that, you brought up a couple things that I'm like, wow, I need to talk about that. But as far as the MBA, what if someone out there has a terrible, terrible MBA? You know, I'm not going to say no names, but whoever knows what my region is, then you know who I'm talking about. But our MBA is fucking useless as far as I'm concerned. I have my own experiences with them, and I know others who have reached out to me for the same fucking issues. So again, this comes down to, hey, if there's problems out there and you feel like saying something, you're complaining, go run against him and take that position. The problem is not a lot of people are going to step the fuck up.
Yeah.
So how do we address that if no one's willing to step up to the plate?
Right. And I'm one of those. I had never thought about running for business agent.
Are you?
Ever. Ever. You know, it's been inquired, you know, and that was not my cup of tea. I had no desire or had no desire. But here I've changed, you know, and I'm running. I'm going to, may not win.
That's okay.
But I'm running.
I think you have the support of a lot of fucking people.
I think that more people, and I've got a lot of people, you'd be shocked at the amount of people that are trying to get people to run against some of these that you're talking about. But yeah, it's hopeless. I had an individual young lady message me today about these TV screens that they're putting up and thanking the Discord people for getting that grievance starter. And she said, because I contacted my business agent, straight crickets.
Wow.
Crickets. They it's because most business agents don't want their opinion or their view out there. They don't want to say yay or nay. They're going to let you do it and then let it fall where they may. They don't want their position out there. This is what we do because they're so afraid of losing. If you're so afraid of losing that you never fight, you're a loser. That's just how it is.
Very well said. Yep.
Yeah. And we have those business agents that are so afraid of losing that their entire career, they'll be known as losers. And because I would much rather get into the fight and get knocked out and say, hey, at least I got in the motherfucking ring and fought.
Absolutely.
Than to sit in the sidelines, you know, eating my popcorn, wishing everybody else the best, you know. And that's unfortunately a lot of these business agents. They finally made it into that cush-ass position, hobnobbing with everybody else at National, going to all these different rap sessions and trainings and getting drunk at night with everybody, and then just fuck the letter carrier. And that I can't support that.
Nope.
And I'll never support that. So, you know, I'll run, may not win, may win, I don't know. But everything to me starts there. We have weak leadership at the top.
Yes, sir.
So you can't count on them.
No.
You can't count. So take them out of the equation. I'm not talking about you got straight just fucking warriors and Manny Peralta, James Henry, Mac Julian, these people that have been, you know, around the block a time or two. And but then those above them haven't done shit.
Right.
And so, you know, you can't count on them. You know, you don't even go to them. And so
that's why I always say you got to educate yourselves, man. You can't rely on anybody to do it for you. Educate yourself. Then if you need help, contact so-and-so. But do it yourself. Learn, man. What Richie Ray in fucking Region 15, I love you, bro. He always says, what's better than one or two shop stewards in an office that know everything? 10 fucking regular carriers who know just as much.
Yeah, and that's what that's why I say, you know, everybody needs to be educated. And that can happen.
It can.
It's going to take some time. It'll take some energy, which a lot of these business agents don't have.
No.
But you can educate the workforce, and an educated workforce is devastating to management. The worst thing to management is an educated shop steward.
Yes, sir.
And I've always said that there's nothing more badass than an educated shop steward, somebody that's taking that time, listens to whatever, researches, studies, and has made themselves a badass. And there's nothing more intimidating to management than that. And
absolutely.
So, I believe our business agents have fallen short. Now, you have some, Mike Kariff, who, you know, they're always training. Always training. If you ever look on Facebook at that region, they're always training, doing something.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's what you can never train enough. And just when you think you've trained enough, double it up.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Listen, I know I have my own experiences with shit with my own MBA, but I'm going to talk about this, and I may catch some heat for this and may even lose some listeners because of it, but it's got to be talked about here. And again, this issue regards the NELC, in particular to people who don't deserve their positions within the NELC. And I want to be clear, if I have any new listeners out there today, and this is your first episode, I'm not a union basher. I think unions are good when they help the members and they do what they're supposed to do. However, when that representation is lacking, and we got fellow carriers losing hours, losing their jobs, or worse, you know, and they get injured, carriers go months and years without pay, lose their homes, get divorces, in some cases take their own fucking lives. That shit hits home for me, man. And when our union leaders either turn the cheek or ignore us or start to help them because a case is too complex or too much for them to handle, or they just don't know how to help us, they totally just sweep it under the rug. That really hits home for me and a lot of our members as well. You know, I'm someone who stands for justice, someone who is about right or wrong. And I'll call those out that need to be, especially since I was wrong. But more importantly, a lot of you out there who I talk to across this country have been wronged as well from certain leadership at both a local and or national level within our union. So I don't know even where to begin. All I can say is there needs to be change in both a local and national level of leadership. But too many times, Corey, I see our NELC union leaders at local levels being in bed with management, making deals with management, right? I mean, that's just got to stop. You're here to represent us, not represent your own self agenda, period. I mean, firstly, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? How can we fix that ongoing issue? I know you mentioned we can get people to run against it. And that's the easy way to do that. But again, you and I know that who's actually going to do that? Right.
Yeah. And you made a great point that, you know, we're not union bashing. Hell, I love my union.
Yes.
There's nobody more NALC than me, you know, but I do that because I love the letter carrier. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's why I do what I do for the NALC.
Corey, wait a minute. Say that again. You what?
Love the letter carrier.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amen. It's about the letter carriers.
That's where it starts and stops. You know, nothing else really matters to me. The NELC is here for me. the NELC is here for the letter carrier. The letter carrier is not here for the NELC.
Correct.
They're our agent. We're not their agent. And so
union dues paying members. That's it.
We pay dues. And so I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to raise hell. I'm going to tell you that you're doing a piss poor job. If you're doing a piss poor job, you know, that doesn't mean I'm union bashing. That may come across like that because I get pretty hot.
Yes, sir.
When I hear that my union is not representing, because that's what you do by design. You represent. And so when you don't, when you have people out there in the lurch like you're talking about that's not getting represented, what do they do? What does the city letter carrier do when he's gone everywhere he can go and is getting no help? What do they do then? Labor charge, a lot of times those things aren't going to fly because the NLC has high-powered attorneys that will just crush your ass if you try to file a labor charge.
Right.
And so those carriers that are left abandoned, what do they do? Where do they go? You know, everybody always says, we're all the union. That sounds great. It really does. And we are all the union. But when all the union is the city letter carrier looking for help from the actual union and they're not getting it. So what do we do now? And that's the problem. That's what you're talking about is,
yes, sir.
You know, where do we go? And so we can get people to run and they will be running against the machine of the NALC. They'll be running against the ticket. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to run. So you better be collecting. A lot of people do raffles and whatnot, trying to raise money. It's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be saving up if you're going to be running for business agent and you're running against the machine, which is the NELC. So if you're running against the ticket, you know, most people that don't know you will just write, you know, mark down the ticket. What's the ticket? Pop, pop, pop. I'm going to write, you know. So you got to get out there. You got to let people know who you are. You got to network. It's tough. It's really tough. And that's the reason you'll see a lot of these piss poor, sorry ass business agents just stay on the damn ticket that don't do shit. And it's upsetting. And, you know, the pre-arbs, I'll talk about that all the time. These pre-arb sessions, I get it. I understand it. You know, it's to save money. It's to get backlogs done. There's two different kinds of pre-arbs. You know, I agree with the pre-arb when you're going to arbitration. And you've got an arbitration, it's an Article 8 violation. We're asking for an escalated monetary award. We've received it numerous times. And you get that, you draw that one arbitrator who has made it known, clearly known, that they do not believe in an escalated monetary war, that the contract doesn't call for it. Arbitrator Bayhack was like that. It doesn't matter if you've got 100 decisions that state they're going to escalate that award. She won't do it. She'll say it's not contractual. So so you may pre-arb that for some kind of language. You can't get mad at that because that's understanding who you're going in front of. So when you have that pre-arb, and a lot of people get pissed, man, I've been getting escalated monetary awards forever, and they pre-arb this shit. Well, you got to understand, if it's going in front of an arbitrator that you know for a fact doesn't believe in your position, you don't want that arbitrator's decision going against you. You're going to pre-arb that for some kind of language, and then, you know, better luck next time. These pre-arb sessions, when they get somebody from area to come down to the business agent's office and they're just wholesaling decisions, I hate that shit. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I think it damages decisions.
Absolutely.
I think it, you know, just like I was talking about New Orleans, the hour office time, when they were falsifying that, we didn't even say falsify. We just said, you know, you'll do something with tax or whatever. You know, you can't even take that in front of an arbitrator. And they say what they did. You know, and I think that things like that, you have to be wise in what you pre-arb. And so I don't agree with the pre-arb sessions. I think that that hurts the union in total. So I don't know if I answered your question. Kind of went off on a little sidetrack there.
No, that's okay, brother. I mean, you still kind of answered it in a way. You know, if someone wants to run, you mentioned it's going to be costly. Make sure you do your networking. Make sure you plan. And that comes down to, listen, I talk to my daughter. I'm big on safety and security, how I brought up, how I was raised.
Yeah.
Ever since my daughter was four, I've been talking to her and about certain situations. One of those things was, which applies to this conversation. And again, my daughter was four and I still talk to her today about it. And she's 11. And that's recognize, strategize, and execute.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you got to recognize any threats, strategize, which is forming a plan to deal with said threat, and execute that plan that you strategize out.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah. That same principle can be brought into here. And again, proactive, you want to be, not reactive, right?
Yeah. Now, what are you going to be? What are you going to do? And how are you going to do it?
Exactly.
You know, I can tell you that I'm going to educate every person in the region. How am I going to do that? You know, how am I going to get to every person in the region? It's just one person, you know, mm-hmm. And I've got an RGA and two RAAs, you know, so you got to network. You got to let everyone know, this is who you're going to contact me.
Right.
And these are what we're going to do. You know, the person that ran against Renfro this last time had all these great ideas, but never told anybody how he was going to do it.
Exactly.
And that's what I kept saying. I can, you know, I think he said, and I could be wrong, and if I am, I apologize, but I think he said he was going to get every CCA $5,000. How are you going to do that?
Exactly. How are you going to do that?
Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have to go to somebody to do that, and that somebody is the Postal Service, and the Postal Service is going to say, no, you're not. You're not going to give them $5,000. We're not going to do that. So how are you going to do that? You're trying to buy votes.
Yep.
When you do that. That's all that is you're trying to buy votes. You're trying to buy the CCA vote, saying, if you vote for me, I'll give you $5,000. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to give it to you. You got to be careful of those people who give you all these promises, but have never told you how they're going to do it. And that was what we were running against.
That's just like a fucking politician. That's what I say. You're no better.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when we talk about this stuff, it's funny how this shit's labeled as taboo, right?
Yeah.
You know, people like you and I and the Richie Rays out there and everybody else, we talk about this. We're either targeted, retaliated against, ignored, you know, whatever the case is, right? I mean, we have our good moments too. It's not all bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we force is the issue. Again, recognize, strategize, execute. Well,
right.
The first recognize, there's you and I and everybody else knows that there's problems that exist within the NELC.
Yeah.
And we want to talk about it. We bring it to the light. We talk about it so we can talk about change and how to fix it to bring a solution to the table, right? You got to first recognize there's a fucking problem before you even figure out a solution.
Right.
That's the first step.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest things for me that bothers me within the unions is corruption. I'm sorry, let me rephrase the wording. And I already know what it is, but for those out there, for you know, lawyer type people out there, alleged corruption, collusion, and straight out bold lies that we are told by our own union leaders. When I say leaders, I mean at the national level,
yeah.
Not our local, but it's bad enough. And listen, when I say that, I know a few of you guys at national, whether you're an elected or an appointed position. I know you're fucking great. You're sincere. You care. You're great at your fucking job. You are an embodiment of what a national leader should fucking be. Unfortunately, the rest of your peers do not match your expectations or your sincerity. But it's bad enough we deal with this from management, along with a toxic work environment. But we have this kind of mistreatment from our own union leaders who are supposed to represent us. To me, that's bullshit, you know, but there needs to be change. It's like people all of a sudden get complacent in their positions and feel like they don't have to work as hard, like you mentioned earlier, like they once did. Mm-hmm. They get caught up in politics, the money. They got away from what was important, which is the membership, mm-hmm. you know, and at the end of the day, and you said this a little bit yourself in a roundabout way, union is only as good as the leadership that it has. But a union starts with you, literally and figuratively. When I say you, not just us as members, but also the leadership level, you know. But I just had to say that. But moving on, man, you know, now that we got that shit out of the way.
And to that point,
go ahead.
You know, this whole inner sanctum of the NELC is what chaps the members' asses. And you'll have a lot of those that are the apologists for the union. I talked about this a while back, is that the union doesn't tell you anything. They won't talk to you about the contract. A lot of people say, well, they don't have to talk to me. I'm paying you money and you won't talk about the contract. And you got the UAW. They told you all across the TV screen what they're asking for. UPS Teamsters told you all across the screen what they're asking for. But it's a secret. It's a secret. We don't want to tell you what we're asking for. We'll let you know after it's all said and done if we got it. Got what? Well, what we're asking for. What are you asking for? We'll let you know. I don't get that. I will never understand that, why you can't be honest with us, why you can't be, you know, out in the open. Why is everything such a secret, so hush-hush? And people on yep. social media just drive their ass crazy when you ask them. They'll tell you that's not the union I want.
Right.
You know, I pay you dues. You work for me. You're my agent. And you can't tell me what you're asking for. I keep hearing we got a great package put together. What is the great package? You know, I will never understand. I'm just one of those that I think that you should tell me everything.
Recognize, strategize, execute, right?
Just tell me everything. Tell me everything and how you're going to do it. If we don't, I don't want to know your strategy, but tell me everything. What are we looking at? What are we trying to do? And if you don't get it, at least you told me. At least I know you're fighting for it. But if you come out and you say, man, we got 1% again, you know, well, what were we asking for?
No, when I say strategize, I mean on their part to come up yeah. with these answers to give to people like us who are asking the questions. That's what yeah. I meant by strategizing. You got to yeah. have the answers. What are you bringing to the fucking table? How are you going to do it? That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I don't, you know, Real Care Union talking about decertify. That's not the way to go. You know, just vote people in that understand the city letter care or the rural care or the APW, the clerk, the janitorial staff.
Mm-hmm.
Vote people in that understand your craft and will fight like hell for you. We don't have that now with the current president. He's lost it. But there are people out there that understand us that are not scared to say, hey, here's what we're doing. You know, and you got a lot of people, again, I go to social media where they, when you, you know, bitch about the union, we'll go somewhere else. I'm not going anywhere else.
Yeah.
I've been here 29 fucking years. I'm not going anywhere else. I pay you dues to represent me. I'm not going to do anything else. And if I want to bitch, I'm going to bitch about something if you're not doing your fucking job.
Yeah.
That's just how I am. And I have the right to bitch because I've been paying into that right to bitch for a long, long time. I paid a lot of money for the right to bitch about you not representing me. And so I'm not going to do a damn thing as far as go somewhere else. I'll stay right the fuck here. And I will bitch as long as I want to because I paid for the right to bitch. And if you don't like that, kiss my ass.
Right.
But I'm a bitch if you're not representing me.
Right. And well, that's the problem, though. And to kind of rebut that a little bit, NELC, to me and to our opinion, I mean, I know it's a little bit biased, but listen, NELC is far better off than NLRCA.
Yes.
And I'm just going to come out and fucking flat out say that.
Yeah.
However, we have our own issues, just mm-hmm. like all unions do.
Yeah.
But we are, to me, the top union within the Postal Service.
Yeah. Okay? Always have been.
No, but now here's the thing. We're not as strong or feared as we once were.
No.
I think we can get better. I think we can get back to that. And there's changes coming. Believe me, there's change. You know, there's yeah. changes coming.
Yeah. When you had Sombrato, we were the baddest motherfuckers walking.
So that's got to be looked at. But as far as the decertification.
Yeah.
I can understand why they want to do it. Yeah. Listen, the majority of the people who I talk to across this country, and I'm not just talking on the podcast, I'm talking that I help off the podcast. The majority are rural carriers. And when I hear their fucking stories, the ones even not on the podcast, or my podcast, I should say, or anyone else's for that matter, there's a few common themes. But the biggest one is something that I experienced with my own union, and that's, but they have no representation. You got an OWCP quote unquote expert, you know, in Devin Cassidy. And I said his name plenty of times. I don't have no problem saying it anymore. Listen, they're fucking pissed off and rightfully so. There's no reason why your members should be going fucking years without pay. Why is that? Where's your fucking help with OWCP? Yeah. Come on.
Well, they're not even getting paid now, are they? I mean, as a craft.
No, and that's another thing. Yeah, 45,000+ carriers not getting paid. That's they can't insane. Make the mortgage payment. What the fuck is going on over there?
And what kind of penalty are they going to get for that?
To borrowing the money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. The Postal Service right now, of course, it's federal, so you know it's fucked up anyway. But
yeah.
It's unlike anything that I've ever experienced right now, the incompetence.
Yep.
And right now is when you need the strongest of unions. Back yes. when Sombrado, back when Young were in there, you know, we were the bullies on the block.
Broad Street bullies, baby.
Yeah. Now we're the ones that are, you know, getting slapped in the back of the head and, you know, the management's giving us the wedgie as we're walking down the hallway because we're not that bully anymore. You know, we're passive and, yep. you know, we're all about, you know, anyway.
and that plays in the management's hands, by the way. We're giving them free reign to do what they want because we're causing division amongst ourselves rather than mm-hmm. staying unified. And that plays into their hands all fucking day. They love that. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But moving on here, I want to get this. Now we got that out of the way. Let's talk about your podcast, Corey, because which again is called From A to Arbitration.
Right.
I know you have a lot of listeners out there. Before I forget, I want to relay a message to you from my good friend, Richie Ray, who we ironically talked about earlier on, local branch president of 99 out in Staten Island, New York, region mm-hmm. 15 again.
Yeah.
But that message is he loves the show. He loves what you're doing. And would love to be on your podcast sometime to talk about everything
yeah.
that is going on right now within the union of post office. Matter of fact, I think you actually brought him up in, it was an episode in the 70s, 74, 78, about one of his rulings or grievances or something like that. But yeah. you definitely talked about him. But
was it, you know, good or was it bad?
It was good. Okay, no, it was good. It was good. Yeah, it wasn't bad. I had the privilege of actually talking with him on Fed Up for a two-part series. I don't know if you heard that, episode 10 and 11. And it was a two-part interview, like I said. But, I mean, listen, man, he wants to do something with you. I just thought I'd relay that. Yeah. But I think I know you guys would hit it off because mm-hmm. your intentions and your enthusiasm and just your fire will align with each other.
Yeah.
Rich wants to create change just like you and I do. And mm-hmm. he will take action on any issues he sees that needs to be addressed just like yourself. But, yeah, I'll let you guys connect. Remind me when we, after this, I'll shoot you his number. And
yeah.
hopefully you guys can connect in the future. But,
all right.
But back to the interview, man. Talk to me about your podcast. The name, again, From A to Arbitration. Again, I think we said there was 119 episodes so far.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that, by the way. What made you want to start the podcast, brother?
I just had a few friends. You know, I've dealt with a few things, you know, arbitration-wise, grievance-wise, when I was Formal A. Kind of got a little reputation back then when I was Formal A. You know, I was able to do some templates for the national, a few of them, NRP templates. I think the very first NRP case was the template I did for Mr. England, who's since passed away. But, yeah, kind of got a little reputation. And as an advocate, you know, we were pretty successful. And so I had a few people reach out about starting a podcast. I don't listen to podcasts. I knew nothing about it. I knew nothing about how to do one. Where would I even start? And they were no help. They just said, we're not reaching these small stations that need to be educated. And I'm thinking, why are your business agents not doing that? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's their responsibility. Get to these stations. You know, if you got one station with one carrier, then you better be down there educating that one carrier to fire these motherfuckers up for management if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing contractually.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they came to me. It's like, you know, you've done a few things and you probably have something to offer. And I said, I'll think about it. Well, first thing I'm thinking, what is a good name? You know, I've got, you come up with, I was not going to have anything to do with the NLC. So that was not going to be in my title, you know, because they were not going to support me financially anyway. Matter of fact, they turned their back on me because of it, but it was not going to be anything to do with the NLC. And so I knew that that was not going to be in the title. And so what is the beginning to the end? From A, informal A, from A all the way up to arbitration, we're going to get a case file ready for arbitration. And that was the whole premise of all of it was, I want to teach you how to get a case file ready for each individual thing. We're going to start out with discipline. We're going to start out with Article 8. And we've covered a wide array of things as far as topics, which I'm pleased with. I've had some very good guests come on to educate. But so I just decided from A to arbitration, from informal A to arbitration. So from A to arbitration, I thought that was kind of catchy. So that's where it came from.
That's a perfect fucking name. And I was actually going to ask you, we all love it. Listen, I wasn't even going to ask you where your ideas come from, like if you just flowed or kind of knew what you were going to do there, but it kind of, you know, or if you envisioned the podcast going exactly the way it is today, but I would say you didn't really.
No.
Wow.
No. Like we were talking before we got on, I planned on probably about 50 episodes.
Okay.
At the most, because I knew I was going to do discipline. That's my wheelhouse.
Yes, sir.
But anybody that sends me discipline, well, no, we get down and dirty on discipline. That's my jam. And so a lot of things are not. And I always tell people, get that core group of people that know different things, and that way you can run things by them. I have that core group. JB is obviously one of them in there. You know, he knows everything about everything. But you know, I figured probably, you know, you're going to go through Article 16, which is the most important to me because that's somebody's livelihood. Mm-hmm. The joint statement and what goes along with that, obviously. Article 8, which is very complex. You know, I've been a steward since 2006, still learning Article 8. And so, you know, just different things like that. So I figured probably about 50 episodes. And here we are, 119, and I'm looking at doing it however many more years, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job. And, you know, you mentioned discipline is your jam, right?
Yeah, that's my shit.
Ironically, that's one of my three pillars, structure, discipline, and accountability. And I know you got the other two. So people, listen, to all the listeners out there, when he runs for NBA, keep that in mind. Corey Walton has structure, discipline,
that's right,
and accountability, which is what we fucking need.
Oh, that's going to be on my button.
I hope that, listen, you got to give me one of those buttons if you do, please. Two of them, one for my daughter.
I'll mail you one of those buttons.
Please, one for my daughter, one for me.
You're going to be in Boston? If you're in Boston, I'll give you one.
You know what? I'll come up to Boston just for that thing. So when did you actually first release your podcast on Podbean?
Shit. When I can tell you.
I stumped you, see?
Yeah, you did. I know that it was... a long time ago.
That's an old timer's response, Corey. Come on.
July 6th of 2021.
July 6th, 2021. That's not that long ago.
That was my very first episode. With July 6th of 2021 was my very first episode.
Do you remember the name of it?
It was my intro.
Okay, the intro. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I need to go back and redo that intro because so much has changed since then, you know, with the website, and that people don't have to wait till episode 60 to realize there's a website. So I need to go back and do that episode and redo
sure,
that.
Sure. Now, when do you release new episodes? Like how often or just whenever you want?
I try every Sunday. I really hate that I got into that, but I would rather do it once a month. But, you know, it's just gotten so overwhelming that I just feel like every Sunday there's always something. You know, there's something new that's come up. And so I try to do one every Sunday. If I can't do it on a Sunday, then I'll definitely, just like this last week, I couldn't do it.
Right.
So I did it on a Monday. So I try to do one every Sunday. And, you know, I have these episodes that are called Salted Peanuts, where I just have a bunch of different topics right, that I do. I think that those are helpful because I can look online at what people are discussing, having issues with, and I can cover all those things. Had an individual message me, I think it was on Reddit, saying, hey, we need more salted peanuts because we hear things from around the country and get, you know, can get us prepared as well. I think that's where the business agent's office has dropped the ball
right,
drastically, is from region to region. educating everybody. Here's what's coming. Let's get ready for it. That's as a union, that's where we've fallen behind. So, you know, I take pride in that with my episodes is that, you know, I don't know how many downloads I have right now. And, but California all the way to Maine, they listen. And so
right.
they can get ahead of it. We'll do that here rather than having to worry about the business agents doing their job.
You know, what's funny. I was in Maine just recently for vacation with the family. And of course, naturally I stopped into the post office, just to say hi to the clerk. I wanted to tell him about my podcast, Fed Up, and everything. And then I actually saw a carrier out in the street as well. I talked to him. And son of a bitch, didn't he? We talked about you, actually, from A to Arbitration, because he was talking really? About podcasts, and you got brought up, and you just mentioned from California, or what is it, to Maine. There you go. Maine, yeah. They're fucking listening, well, brother. Great. Yeah.
Was it complimentary?
It was complimentary, yeah. Yeah.
Good, yep. Good.
He was actually good. Had it in his earbud as I stopped him. he said, I'm actually listening to Corey Walton now. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. But yeah, that's crazy. But Corey, listen, are you on other platforms or apps as well besides Podbean or strictly Podbean?
Well, Podbean's who I go through, you know, mm-hmm. I pay them to put it up, but they put it up on everything, you know?
Okay.
So I can be listened to on any download, anywhere, anyone who downloads any kind of yep. podcast. Will have me on there, should.
Gotcha. So, yeah, you'll be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
yeah.
Google. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yep. I'm on all of that. And so they just do that for me.
Good.
And, you know, because I am definitely not adapted to that. I would have never known how to do that for free.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, I feel you there, because I started this podcast. I'd have never thought I would have started this podcast. But kind of like you've been doing that shit for how long? And it transitioned into this podcast, which –
yeah,
it just took off. And that's for like 2.5 to 3 years. I was helping employees, all different crafts and unions from all over the country, and not just postal service either. But and I was like, why not try to do this? I'm retired. I need something to do. And it just I'm learning as I go, even as we speak. It's falling into place by itself. It's pretty cool to watch happen. But I mean, yeah, I feel you there, man. But you keep doing your thing, man, because we all appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate it. I don't plan on stopping anytime soon.
Good, so. Good. Speaking of which, what can we expect from Corey Walton in the future? I know we talked about possibly NBA. Well, no, you're running for NBA in the future, but what else?
Yeah. Well, if I do run for NBA and get it, I will not stop doing this.
Okay.
You know, I will still be trying to educate as much as I can, but that's it, really. I mean, hell, I'll it'll be 3 more years before I can do that. And if I do that, I'll probably, if I do win, I'll do that for about 5 years and then call it a day, man. I'll get off into the sunset.
Yes, sir.
Leave it for everybody else.
You'll be having drinks with Larry Cirelli on the beach somewhere.
Yeah. I don't drink, but I will do something.
You'll be doing something. Sure.
I've always said I'll do one shot. I've always said that. I'll do one shot.
Yeah. One celebratory shot. Yep.
Yeah. Because I don't drink, but I will do one shot.
All right. I mean, listen, Corey, we covered a lot here today. And I actually want to talk to you about one last thing.
All right.
And that is regarding our fellow brothers and sisters out here, our coworkers. You know, throughout my time as a carrier in the Postal Service, I'm a member of the NELC. I've come to know and see how us carriers, especially, you know, how we act towards each other, right? Which may or may not differ from the time you were a carrier. I doubt it, but, listen, we had a lot of jokesters out there. You got to have fun with this job, as just like you got to have tough skin if you're going to do this job as well, period. Right.
Yeah.
But what I'm starting to see is really disgusting to me, anyway, and too many people preach family as a carrier. And I'm not seeing that, but I'm also not saying you can't have a work family, because you can. But
yeah.
I've met and made some great friendships and met some great people, some of which I still have today, just like I'm sure you have as well, Corey. But really bothers me is I see and hear us preach that term family, yet I see too many times I see carriers kick other carriers when they are down, throw each other under the bus, talk shit behind their backs. We talked about witness statements earlier. They won't step. They'll see something, but they won't step up and protect their brother or sister. I see it all the time, this negative shit happening. Yet we continually preach family. Where is this so-called family that we preach so much? How come carriers are not standing up for other carriers when the time is right? Because it's the right thing to do. Family, right? I always say, and again, something I always tell my daughter again, is that anyone can tell you anything, but it's their actions that tell you everything that you need to know about them. And I got to be honest with you right now. I see and hear more about kicking others than helping others when we are down. And it's the actions of city letter carriers, even local stores and presidents who are carriers, whose actions are giving their own members, their coworkers, a bad vibe in regards to not only a union, but more importantly, their fellow carriers that they work with, who are in the same union, by the way. It's those actions that are saying everything right now. Those actions are not good. You know, how does that make you feel? How do we go about changing that, if we even can?
Yeah, you answered it. It starts with the steward. And I believe that it starts and stops there. You know, the branch president, if they're weak, if they're, you know, if they refuse to grieve what needs to be grieved, which we hear all the time, if your steward is weak or new, you know, new doesn't mean weak. You know, if they're new and management is trying to run over everybody, that's going to cause dissension. If you have a steward that refuses to file quarterly grievances where somebody's getting a whole lot of money and somebody's not getting it, that's going to cause dissension. I think a steward is the most important person on the workroom floor, not management. I think that the shop steward is the most important person on the workroom floor. I think that they dictate how we treat each other. If a bully comes in, they can be dealt with. It may take a little while, but they can be dealt with. And if carriers see you dealing with them, you know, we can tolerate a lot of shit. If you have weak leadership in the union, I think that that causes a lot of dissension on the floor.
Right.
I think that management loves to cause dissension. They love to drive wedges in between the letter carrier craft. They will target those pets and they will bully the steward. And so carriers will see the pets getting all of this, and they're not getting anything. The steward won't file because they're scared. You go to the branch president who's checked out, and here you have it. You got a workroom floor that's filled with dissension, you know, whether it's racial overtones or whatever, which happens a lot.
Right.
And I think that that starts and stops with representation on the floor. The shop steward has to gain control of that workroom floor. My carriers were split, you know, as far as ethnicity, but they are a family. They love each other.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah, and they will fight for each other. I don't care who comes in there. There's no favorites, no pets. These carriers, of course, they got a lot of tenure, too. They've been through these fucking battles with me. You know, I've been a steward since 2006.
Wow.
So I've gotten control of that floor. They understand me. They believe in me. They trust me. But I believe if you have stewards that are new and not educated, sometimes that floor can get away from them. If you have those stewards that are cowardly, that just aren't going to fight, that suck management's ass like a lot of them, you're going to have this dissension on the floor. If you have branch presidents, like I said, if they have checked out and they're not going to do anything and you don't have an avenue because your business agent don't give a fuck anymore, I think you're going to have dissension on the workroom floor, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
But I believe it. I believe I could be wrong, but I believe it starts and stops with representation. That steward has to understand they're the most important person on that workroom floor.
Exactly. Not just from a local standpoint, but it also falls on leadership from the president of that said local to that shop steward. Because if there's a problem, let's face it, there's a lot of shop stewards who are in bed with management, or they're just here comes that term, warm body. Unions use them too. We just want to fill somebody into this fucking position, have someone in that office, so I don't want to deal with it no more. Well, they shouldn't. They're the wrong people for that job. They don't want to learn.
And, you know, I've said this before. The business agent, if you have carriers that are contacting the business agent's office saying, hey, my floor is not getting any representation. You know, things are amok. You know, the branch president isn't doing anything. Most business agents will not get involved because they don't want to step on the branch president's toes. You have got to say, hey, call the branch president. We're getting complaints out of this office. What are they doing about it? You know, mind your business. Okay, I will. I'm going to send an outside representation. My RGA is going to come down there and file all the grievances for you. You just stay the fuck out of the way. And I think that more of that needs to happen. And I think that you would get a lot of these workroom floors under control.
Well fucking said. And listen, since we're on shop stewards and everything, what if the hostile work environment or toxic or hostile behavior is taking place to one of our own, what if that's coming from somebody opposite of a different craft, like a rural carrier to a city letter carrier? Mm-hmm. And it's been ongoing, especially when you get injured on the fucking job and you got someone poking and, you know, listen, there's a reason why we are the only ones with a negative connotation slogan going postal. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. We blame management, and it is management,
yeah.
But we do it to our fucking selves too. But my question to you is, how can somebody deal with that right now if they have a rural carrier fucking with them continuously?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of barriers being crossed from, you know, someone with discrimination, yeah, disability, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And you have poor representation and the union pretty much, when I say union, I mean they're local, is pretty much, well, we can't do nothing with that.
Yeah.
Because to me, even though there's nothing in the contract,
yeah, there is,
you should still, there is. Oh, yeah. Talk about it, please.
Yeah. Section 115.4 of the M39 handbook, mutual respect. It's management's obligation to make sure that our workroom floor is maintained with mutual respect. And that goes for everybody. And so if I'm being bullied by another craft, if I'm being bullied by another carrier, I'm going to tell management once, this is what's going on. They are obligated under Section 115.4 of the M39 handbook to handle that, because they are the ones who are supposed to maintain a mutual respect atmosphere. That don't mean from them to us. That means everybody. And so if that's going on, I'm going to alert management that I'm having an issue with somebody, and this is my issue. And they better damn well take care of it under Section 115.4 of the M39 handbook. Now, also the postal policy on workplace harassment. Mm-hmm. If I make a complaint, if I write a complaint down, and I say, here's my complaint against rural carrier so-and-so, who every day is calling me this, is coming to my cave, is heckling me, calling me out of my name, calling me racial slurs, here's my statement. Under publication 552, which is talks about management, yep, responsibilities in the postal policy on workplace harassment, postal service policy on workplace harassment, they're obligated to initiate an IMIP, an initial management inquiry process. They're obligated to do that. If you do that enough, whoever's doing that to you will stop, because you're going to bring heat down on that station that they don't want.
Right.
And
absolutely.
So it's going to start and stop with management, because they're the ones ultimately who are held responsible for the mutual respect atmosphere on that workroom floor through Section 115.4 of the M39 handbook.
Okay.
And then we'll try to tie the joint statement, you know, saying that management has not done their job as far as protecting me. When you look at everything that you, if you look at the district zero tolerance policy.
Yep.
If you look at the ELM 665, if you look at the joint statement on violence and behavior in the workplace, if you look at the postal service policy on workplace harassment, every single one of those talks about a commitment from them to me that there will be no tolerance of any of these things that you just talked about. Now, if there's a commitment from them to me in every one of these things that there will be no tolerance of these things, then why are we tolerating it with me? Why am I the exception to all of these handbooks, manuals, and provisions? Why am I the one, the lone one who has been tolerated? Because I've told you about my issues. I've told you about the problems that I'm having. And yet your commitment to me of no tolerance is not coming to fruition. Why? Why am I the exception? And so I think that you have a good avenue there.
Okay.
That answer your question?
It does. It does. And then some, you know, and we also, I also talk about threat assessment teams.
Yeah.
I've seen good and bad things with those. It all depends, right?
Yeah.
On the time of day, if they're, you know, if they're having a bad day, whatever the case is.
Understand, the Postal Service doesn't want to get involved with you. They don't give a damn about you or your upset mm-hmm. feelings or all this shit. They don't care. But there are obligations to you from them that they will do. And that starts with publication 552. They're obligated to do that. These are the things that management must do. You'll see that in management's responsibilities. And so they must do it means, to me, that means they must do it.
So I'll play devil's advocate here, and I'll throw a wrench in there. What if said employee, would it be a rural carrier, a clerk, whoever it is, mm-hmm. that is attacking, harassing, whatever you want to call it, bullying, or our brother and sister in an NELC, a city letter carrier.
Yeah.
And there was numerous stand-up talks done about dignity and respect and harassment. All the talks, but that now you also have, maybe you have a change at leadership as a postmaster, a supervisor, or even both for that matter, over the course of however long of a time it is. And now you're talking, every time you're starting over, but yet it's being documented. And I always preach documentation. Yeah. You have to write, hey, if you remember a smell, write that fucking down. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You got to write down the time, the day,
yeah.
What day it was, what was going on, who was around. Gather witness statements if you need them, and write that in your own documentation. So-and-so was around when this happened.
Yeah.
But what if all that's done, stand-up talks, the whole nine, and it's still going on? And I'm talking about extreme cases. Anybody can sit there and say, hey, this guy's harassing me.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it also comes down to what you and I, Corey, might view as harassment. Someone else might not. So we got to deal with that as well. But yeah. It doesn't matter. If it's blatantly and you have witness statements and people see it and it's been going on for years and it's still not being handled, how would you go about dealing with that and helping our brother and sister going through that right now?
Yeah, always remember that none of these handbook manual provisions either say current management. It just says management.
Okay? Good point.
So none of these say current management will maintain the mutual respect atmosphere. It just says management. So I can change managers 100 times. It does not change the language of any of those policy letters, anything. It says management or the service. And so if I've got grievances, talks about management will cease and desist 115.4 by failing to maintain a mutual respect atmosphere on the workroom floor with the rural cares, whatever. I'm going to start hitting them for so much money for not doing it. Or they're either going to go fire the damn rural care who's fucking with me. Because if you're doing that, your day is made by fucking with me, I really don't care about you.
Yeah.
Or your position. You know, if you come in and you're decided, hey, I'm going to go fuck with the city letter care just because I'm a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a damn what happens to you. If you're fucking with my people, whoever you are, I don't give a damn about you. And so, you know, all of those provisions, every one of those handbook manuals and things like that, all of them say the service or management. They do not say current management. And so if I've got grievances, if I've got statements, they're going to carry on forever. And so I'm just going to if got new management, I'm going to alert them, hey, I'm having issues with this guy. I've got grievances on it. And he's still going on. I'm just letting you know you're going to be held accountable just like past management. And if I have to continue on, I'm going to ask for something crazy, you know, monetary-wise until you resolve it.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I appreciate you responding to that because myself, I went through a lot of shit, but then I hit retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck it. I'm not turning my 2.5 years worth of documentation in anymore. Yeah. I wanted to and set precedent, but I was like, I'm leaving this bitch. I'm going to focus on what's important, which is the people.
Yeah.
I'm done. So it's not about me no more.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. However, I had people coming to me, and there's numerous people who are dealing with this, you know, whether it be a rural carrier, clerk. Listen, we appreciate that. I appreciate you shedding light on that because my listeners need to hear that, who I talk to off air, who are going through some shit. So thank you for all that, all of it.
Absolutely.
But that was well said, and we definitely need more unity amongst ourselves. That's for sure.
We'll get that, man. It will get that. I mean, once the air clears here and we get new leadership and get on the right path here, it'll all come about.
Yeah. And listen, I'm not saying you got to invite everyone over to your crib or befriend everyone you work with, but it's all about mutual respect, dignity, and respect, right? To those passive aggressive, backstabbing, shit talking, making deals with management coworkers, whatever craft you're fucking in. How can we expect management? How can we demand management? Give us dignity and respect when we can't give that to ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean,
man. And they love that.
Yeah, they do. Falls right in their hands.
They feed on that. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, they pick and choose, you know, to do this too. But I mean, listen, unless someone gives you a reason not to, you should always give dignity and respect to other people. It just goes back to the golden rule when we learned when we were little kids, man.
Yeah, that's your upbringing.
Exactly. And and that's what I try to tell people. Listen, you know, probably didn't get enough hugs or whatever the case was when he grew up.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. It's not your fault. Let them be, man. Don't respond. That's what they want you to do. They want you to respond. If you ignore them, and which is hard to do sometimes without, you know, saying something that you shouldn't be saying. But let's be honest, sometimes you got to get real with people and let them know, hey, fuck around and find out. You better back the fuck up.
Yeah.
Treat people accordingly is what I'm saying, right? But
yeah.
Listen, it brings me to this. Keep an eye out for Getting Ozzied. It's an episode I'll be doing where I'm going to be talking about coworkers like this. It's going to be an episode where I speak more on that exact topic. Coworkers who act just like we just discussed. You know, we all have an Ozzie in our office, some worse than others, and some may even have a few Ozzies within their office. But I'll talk more about that, what that term getting Ozzied means, what it entails, and how we can combat those Ozzies within our office, especially after what you just shared with me, Corey. I'm definitely going to put that in that episode. But I mean, should you find yourself lucky enough to have one or more of these people as a coworker, again, getting Ozzied, stay tuned for that to drop. No release date as of yet, but it's coming. Now, Corey, is there anything else you'd like to say to the listeners out there? Something we didn't cover? Something you may want to share with the people?
No, not really. I think we covered quite a bit.
All right. We did. I appreciate your conversations, you know. And, you know, now, Corey, I always end my show by asking two questions to my guests, right, which are always the same two questions. I'm going to switch it up this time, being your special guest here on the show. So let me ask you this question. To our NALC union leaders out there, locally, nationally speaking, whoever, what message would you send to them right now?
Pack up your shit, put it in a box, and get yourself ready to get the fuck out of that office because you're getting replaced at the top. Now, to those others, you know, keep fighting for us. Keep fighting for us. You know, right. You're all we've got. And I'm speaking as a city letter carrier. You're all we've got. And management right now, the Postal Service, is as bad and dangerous as I've ever seen it. And we need you more than ever. And so keep fighting for us at every level. Keep fighting. Keep educating us. That's the key to everything is education. But at the tip top, you're not going to be there long. So don't get that, you know, too used to that office because you've pissed it away as far as I'm concerned.
Well fucking said. And that's something that should be heard by all union leaders, no matter what union you're a part of. I mean, secondly, is there a message you want to give to our fellow carriers out there, our fellow brothers and sisters within the NALC especially regarding anything we just talked about here today?
Hang in there. Help's coming. You know, it's looking bad in a lot of places right now. You would be shocked at the amount of emails I get where people are just in complete dismay. Hang in there. Help is on the way. I promise you that. You have good people going to step up and take over this thing. Help is on the way. Do not get discouraged. Don't hang your head. You know, help is on the way. We're coming. It's going to be a little bit, but don't worry. We're coming. Help is on the way. That's what I tell them.
Well said again. Well said. Now, Corey, it's been a blast having you on the show.
Anytime, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother, for joining us again. Definitely got to do it again. And who knows, perhaps yes, I'll be on your show one day. Well, you never know. But
well, look, if I can get that, I'm not as good as you now. My shit comes out. I got to rubber band my shit to my microphone. So as soon as I get that figured out, man, I'll have a lot more people on. It's just embarrassing to say, hey, I want you to come on. Hang on just a second while I rubber band this up to my microphone.
Hey, we all got something that's jerry rigging our LOV. Why not at home, right?
That's right. I'm used to it. I was back in the old Jeeps.
Yes. So. Yeah, that's right. Again, man, we appreciate you.
All right, brother.
And again, to the listeners, tune in to Corey Walton's podcast. Again, it's called From A to Arbitration, which you can find on Podbean, the same app that Fed Up is on, among many others. Just make sure you follow the podcast as it's always entertaining as much as it is educational. So go and follow that again, From A to Arbitration by Corey Walton. Closing it out here as usual, I'm going to leave you with this. To the NALC and all unions for that matter, I want to remind you of something. Unions are the protectors of workers' rights, ensuring that no individual is left without a voice in the face of injustice. Unions are not only supposed to be the voice of its members, but also for advocating for better working conditions and wages for its members as well. Unions are supposed to remind us that the true value of labor lies not just in economic output, but in the dignity and respect to which it deserves. Too many of you union leaders, both at the national or even the local levels, need to be reminded of this because it seems that you guys lost your way. Too many of you are prioritizing your own interest over the well-being of the members or the greater good for the union as a whole, which is turning our unions into a self-serving entity rather than an organized organization for its members. When you engage in corruption, collusion, any unethical practices, that tarnishes the reputation of organized labor as a whole. Bad unions may foster a sense of entitlement and complacency, not only among their members, which discourages individual growth and advancement, but also it fosters a sense of entitlement and complacency among union leaders who are responsible for giving representation and protecting its members. When unions lose sight of their original purpose and become corrupt or ineffective, they betray the trust of their members. And that's exactly what is happening today within the NELC, the NRLCA, APWU, just to name a few of the unions we see and hear about regarding the dysfunctional leadership, which, by the way, hinders open communication and compromise, leading to more conflicts that harm your members. Look at what's happening to the NRLCA right now. They are facing possible decertification because of the lack of representation, and other things I just mentioned are happening. Hell, they've been happening for quite some time now. Are you guys okay with that type of negative publicity? Do you want your members rising up because you're not doing the right thing by your members? I say this all the time. Y'all need to have integrity. That's what's missing from the NALC right now, and all unions for that matter. You guys need to do better. You are losing the trust, the faith from members because of your willful misconduct, neglect, and total disregard you have for your members and your organization, your union, right, as a whole. The time is now to be and create the change that your members want, need, crave, because they decide to unite. And if they do decide to unite and create change themselves for themselves, right, it's just going to, it may include a few or all of you unethical people in your positions being removed. So if you want to keep your positions, your salary, your comfortable living, stop contributing to the good old boy royal blood type shit or your own selfish needs and start contributing to your own members' needs. To my fellow city carriers out there and all federal union dues paying members, I'll leave you with this. Solidarity is the key to progress as unions create a sense of community that propels the workforce and the union forward. In unity, there is strength. As through unions, we, the members, can collectively empower ourselves and achieve positive change. See, when union members unite their voices and efforts, they create a symphony of progress that resonates far and wide to the point where we can be a force that can move mountains of change. It is up to us to harness that power of unity to transform our workplace and improve lives, or in this case, transform the kind of union we want representing us. Union members standing shoulder to shoulder as if we're ready to go to war exemplify the spirit of solidarity that can conquer any obstacle. Instead, we are causing obstacles and injustices for ourselves because we are not unified. We preach family, but right now we are a dysfunctional family. Stop fighting amongst each other. Stop kicking each other when you're down. Stop throwing each other under the bus. And please stop talking shit behind each other's backs. Family does fight with one another from time to time. However, they still got each other's back. We need to get back to solidarity that once was strong between us all. Only then can we find the courage to challenge injustice and create a better tomorrow for our members as one. See, coming from individuals, that message comes from a group of individuals who are rallied together, that same message, it holds more weight. And the message is delivered much stronger, much clearer, and with more emphasis. Every one of you union members right now are like fingers of a hand. They are most effective when they come together in a unified grasp. So fuck the middle finger. We should be making a fist. For united we stand, but divided we fall. That's why the strength of the union lies in their collective unity. But again, it all starts with you. After all, you cannot spell union or unity without you. Corey, listen, man, thanks again for joining us. It's been an honor to have you on the show.
Anytime, man.
Keep doing what you're doing. And I look forward to the next time we get together, man.
All right, brother.
To everybody out there, until next time, stay safe, my friends.
That about does it here for us at Fed Up. Please don't forget to like, follow, and share this podcast. And if you are fed up like everyone else is and want to share your story and experiences, your issues and frustrations, and want your voice to be heard, I invite you to be a guest on this show. There's strength in numbers, and together, by sharing our stories, we can and will make the change that is needed. Just send me an email at one.fedup.podcast@gmail.com. Again, that's the number 1.fedup.podcast@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Again, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay safe out there, my friends.